everyone. Welcome and thank you for listening to the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. If you're listening to this, you must be or are interested in becoming a great sport of sumo. During this podcast, my brother and I will be discussing things like sumo predictions, up-and-coming rikishi, matchups we're looking forward to, and even our own experiences in Japan. As a warning, there will likely be spoilers in the episode you're about to listen to. Rikishi pulling out of tournaments, who beat who, things like that. Everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. I am here, as always, with Andrew.
Hey, everyone.
And we are into July, and it's been a pretty interesting tournament so far, I would say. We're on day four, as far as we're going to be talking about. It's kind of predictable, but I won't jump ahead here. I think we can start by just kind of looking at the Banzuke, I think, a little bit, and seeing where people kind of fell based on what we were thinking. Obviously, Hakuho's back. I thought Hakuho was, like, not going to fight in this one, actually.
But... So, I know there were a lot of people saying that he should have taken this tournament off and, like, really made one final push in September. But you just look, he hasn't competed in a full tournament in over a year. I actually think July of 2020 was the last time he actually was through for the full 15 days. So I think he pretty much had to come back this tournament. And he's looked pretty good so far. Through 4 days, he hasn't looked, like Hakuho of before, but I think, a little rust is coming off and you can kind of see that. He's had a couple close matches and
I was going to say that too. Like, he's had a couple close calls.
Yeah, so especially on day one against Meisei, he had him and Meisei pretty much almost went down at the same time, and when he got up, you could kind of see in his face that at first I thought he was like an injury, where I was like, oh great, day one, he's injured, he's going to pull out now, and there goes Hakuho, and now he's going to have to retire. But I think it was more of like a frustrated look, where it was like, I can't believe I came that close to losing to a guy who's just making his Senyaku, debut.
Yeah.
Being down there at Komatsu, because Meisei hasn't been that high. That's his career high right now. And to potentially lose to him on day one would have been pretty devastating for him to come back. And you don't want to go out that way.
And day four too, actually, he had like a grin on his face when he was done, because it was really close.
He had that look where it was like, I got away with it.
Yeah.
I am very lucky right now to be sitting at 4-0. I'm not performing at my best. So it's funny because he's actually looked like he's kind of had fun.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, like I was about to say that too. I was like, it kind of like, I don't think I've seen him with like a grin on his face like that in a while.
And I'm hoping that means that he's healthy. And if nothing else, like, let's say I just hope he doesn't do his usual, like he loses a match and he pulls out, and unless it's like a serious injury. But with him, you can't really tell lately.
Yeah.
I think unless it's something that's like crippling, he's got to get through these 15 days. Like, there's just no excuse not to be there and at least be a contender going into like day 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. And be up there on the leaderboard. I mean, what you'd honestly want is a Terunofuji, Hakuho, day 15, winner takes all bout.
Yeah, it's kind of shaping up that way.
Yeah.
Although I would say Terunofuji has also had a couple close calls. Not as bad as Hakuho, I don't think, but he's also been like giving people that extra shove out of the dohyo on multiple occasions.
Yeah, and he did that a lot too when he was up there before his first stint in Ozeki. Like, he's kind of that guy who will give you that extra push for no reason, which is funny because I know we talked about this offline, but like, and we'll get to it, but like Ichinojo and Kaisei are very nice, good guys. Like, those are some good dudes, like preventing injuries, holding them as they're about to go out of the ring. Like, Terunofuji will never do that.
Yeah.
He'll be the guy who's like, hey, this is my ring. Get out. I'm here to win.
I mean, and that could be why, that he was able to like pull himself back out of, the lower ranks. Like, it's just that attitude, mm-hmm. like like Ichinojo obviously has been an up and down wrestler, you know, is part of that, that he's like a nicer guy, you know, like that kind of thing. It's I don't know. I don't care for it, but it's obviously like a competitive thing. I think it just happens, and it's kind of like when like football players, whatever, like you keep playing until you hear a whistle. Like, yeah. You know what, like no matter what, even if it's like the ball is bouncing down the field and it's clearly like a drop ball, but you picked it up like it's an interception, like you got to play it till the whistle blows. Mm-hmm. So like I get it, but it's kind of I don't know, even if he does hold back, like it doesn't really make it that much safer, but no. I feel like the extra shove is definitely not helping, you know what yeah, I mean, like
it's definitely not helping, especially now that we're getting fans back in the stands too, where mm-hmm. before, like, even though I hated when they push them and they'd run like 25 feet up the stands and no one would be there to like break their fall or anything,
yeah,
which I also thought was very dangerous to not have any kind of padding there, mm-hmm. but like now that you have people back in, and I think Nagoya, which one, this is the first basho outside of Tokyo in I think about a year, mm-hmm. So that's pretty significant too, but they have about 50% capacity, but like people are back in there, and if you give them that extra shove, like that's momentum that you're going to put someone into the crowd, like potentially, you know, hurt a spectator, and it's like it's completely unnecessary, like, you know, the guy's out already.
Yeah, that's my thing, is like it's clearly like the fight was already called,
yeah,
in the two instances so far in this tournament that I'm thinking about, like, and then the guy was kind of like teetering on the edge doing that like one leg, like trying to keep his balance, he's gonna go off the dojo anyway,
yeah,
and then it's like he gets this extra shove, like that's borderline to me, yeah. And again, I think this is the reason why we've had issues with Tenryu Fuji in the past, is he's like that kind of fighter, I feel, and, like, and he'll do what it takes to win and like establish dominance, you know, like,
yeah, and he's got, and the other thing, I mean, he's right now he's asserting his dominance. Like, mm-hmm. right now, it's pretty much Yokozuna or bust for him. Like,
yeah,
if he doesn't win this tournament, he pretty much has to. Some people were speculating, and I think this is what on NHK, if you caught the pre-basho show that they usually do with, like, John Gunning, and mm-hmm. I forget who the other first-timer they had on the show, but they were talking about it and had mentioned if he gets, like, 14-1, even without a Yusho, or goes 15-0 without a Yusho and, like, loses in a playoff or something, that could still be a Yokozuna promotion. And they were even talking about Takakesho getting a Yokozuna promotion with him also potentially being a runner-up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Takakesho...
he pulled out.
Yeah, he'll be out for the rest of the tournament. He's got a hernia and a vertebrae in his neck.
Ugh, yeah.
So the timetable for recovery is about a month. So I think they've already confirmed that he'll be out for the rest of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone had any hopes of him making a Yokozuna run... or at least another tournament away from him pretty much starting all over.
Yeah. He looks pretty good in his day one win, Takakesho.
Yeah, he looks good in day one. And then day two, he came up limp against Ichinojo. And it was weird because it looks like he was like favoring his arm, but I just don't know if he couldn't feel like he was trying to hold up his arm because the back of his neck had no strength to like hold that part of his arm up. But they like, and this was the first time I actually we got to see this new emergency protocol, where, you know, it's not like the head injury and the death of the Rikishi from last tournament, but
oh man, you know, yeah, I'm watching that fight too, I'm just rewatching it really quick,
and I don't know if it's because like kind of like, so when, remember when we went and fought Kota Shigeko, and the one thing they told us was like don't lead with your head. I wonder if he like just made enough contact with like his face or his head that kind of tweaked something in his neck.
Yeah.
And it really caused him to go down, but it almost looked like he was about to like black out.
Yeah, like, he was,
you know, just like guides him down.
Yeah, he was kind of wavering when I saw it. And they also had a false start there,
mm-hmm.
right off the bat too. And he was looking at it now, like he seems pretty much okay after that. But I mean,
yeah, I think sometime, like, once they actually had their real bout, I think something went wrong.
Oh, yeah, no, he went totally limp after that Tachi Eye, yeah. too. Yeah, I think he caught something on the Tachi Eye, and then Ichinojo recognized that.
Yeah,
and just kind of, like, helped him out, if anything.
Yeah, he kind of like guided him down and just kind of put him down. And then that was the first time we saw this new emergency protocol, which, you know, media outlets were reporting on that they had, they did one more, you know, test run of what you're supposed to do in emergencies. And like, we haven't seen a wheelchair come out in a pretty long time.
Yeah, and it's there.
And they brought this out for Takakesho. I don't know if it's because he was like an Ozeki and it's more respect. So it's like an, like an honor kind of thing where you're like, of course you bring out the wheelchair for the Ozeki, but like you didn't bring it out for the guy who was laying completely still and pretty much paralyzed for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything medical.
Well, yeah, they have at least, I don't know. This guy doesn't look like a doctor to me. He just looks like one of the ring side guys, but like he was at least talking to him and making sure he was coherent. It looked like.
Yeah,
and so it wasn't a concussion thing, and he's like holding his arm as they're wheeling him off too. So it's got to be like,
I'm guessing it's like he lost strength in his neck, and it just kind of favored one side of his body versus the other, or something. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's a freak accident, and you know it's unfortunate because next tournament we'll have at least one Katoban Ozeki now with Takakesho, and Asunoyama will obviously, since he's out, he'll be demoted next tournament out of Ozeki. And Shodai through four has looked okay.
Yeah, it's just decidedly okay.
Yeah.
Definitely not gonna, that kind of performance in the first 4 days isn't gonna win you anything in this tournament. This is Hakuho and Terunofuji show here.
Pretty much.
Wakatake Kage obviously is doing a really great job, in my personal opinion. Big fan of him anyway, but I mean, You can't lose to that, honestly. Like, again, you're facing the top guys these days. You got to get as many wins out of this as you can, just so. Mm-hmm. I mean, then that's like the hard work done.
Yeah, but, I mean, especially as an Ozeki, like
you're
beating these guys. And the same thing with Endo. Like, Endo is currently 1-3, and Endo's also had, he's been fed to the wolves like his first 4 days. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, losing to Endo, giving him his only win, like you're an Ozeki. You got to stay pretty firm with your, with your wins. Like, you really got to keep it going. I mean, Terunofuji is pretty much making everyone else in this rank look bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And continuing to move on down, Takeumi, it's at 3-1, which is pretty good, but his one loss looked pretty ugly. That was back on day.
Yeah, it was day one, I guess.
Day one, yeah.
Ichinojo, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's why it stuck out in my head, because it was against Ichinojo, and I was like, wow, Ichinojo looked pretty good in that one, actually. Like,
it's funny because I always think Ichinojo looks so good. Like, he always looks good in the first like handful of days, and then whatever happens in like the back half, and this is what happens to Takayasu too, is like first 8 days, pretty well, back half for whatever reason. Turns into a complete nightmare.
Yeah, and Takeumi had nothing on that fight. Like, Ichinojo was just holding them up, and Takeumi was like coming at him trying to push, and Ichinojo was basically just standing up. He's just leaning into him.
Yeah, it's hard to get Ichinojo going. Like, if you don't get a good touchy eye on him, it's really hard to get him moving backwards unless it's like you've got a better grip than him or anything. But like, once you're out of the match with him, you're pretty much out, just because he's a much bigger guy.
Yeah, he just saps your energy, it looks like Mataki. Like, he gets the grip on Mataki and just leans into him, and then like every once in a while he pushes up a little bit, and then like, you know, you're using all that strength to try and stop him. But yeah, he had the grip on the back of the washi. It was all over on day one. But yeah, Mataki still doing his Mataki thing. I predict he'll end up like 8-7 or something. Probably.
I mean, that's a fair prediction based on what we've seen. I mean, 10-5 last tournament, but 9-6, 8-7, 10-5 for his last three. I mean, if he pulls out and if he manages to get like 14 wins, actually not even 14, he'd have to get at least like 10 this tournament to consider an Ozeki run in September. But even then, he'd still need, here you'd probably want him to have at least 11.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, he hasn't fought Hakuho or Terunofuji yet, so
Those are two losses likely.
Yeah, Shodai, he could win.
Yeah. But yeah, he's got Endo on day five, so that should also, that should be a win for him right there.
Yeah. Theory. Yeah, and he, I mean, and he beat Hokuto Fuji on day three. Hokuto Fuji is, you know, the giant killer, as we always call him. So that's a good one to pick up. Takanosho on day two. That's, but, and Tobi Zaru is, as much as I love him, is up and down as well. So
yeah, he's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, no huge victories there for him so far. But
nope.
Yeah, we'll see where he goes the next couple of days. But yeah, and then Takayasu, he's doing his Takayasu thing. Yeah, I keep saying it about everybody here, but he's out.
Yeah, no, well
he started out rather.
Yeah. The first 2 days he was out. Apparently, I think it's due to a back injury that he had, and it flared up. So he was on another Ozeki run, having over the last two tournaments. Over the last three, he has 29. Over the last two, he has 20.
Yeah.
So this tournament, you're really looking for 13 or maybe 12 wins with some kind of upset over either Taran Fuji or Hakuho to kind of weigh that one less win to get him back up to Ozeki. So that's probably why he came back after 2 days. But he's looked pretty good in those 2 days, considering it's an injury that he's kind of working through.
Yeah, and it's like, and I mean, Endo kind of beat himself on day four. Rewatching the match, it's like Endo is kind of leaning, he gets, I don't know, in a weird spot and just puts his hand down and loses. But what I think is good for Takayasu in this fight is he's leaning forward a bunch. Like, I don't know where the injury is in his back, but I would suspect he wouldn't be leaning into things as much if it was like a real issue.
Yeah, and I believe it is a back injury, because everyone else who's also pulled out of the tournament has been either suspended or I forget why. I forget his name. Is out. Let me pull up the name. Akiseyama. There we go.
Right.
But yeah. So I think I'm pretty sure it was a back injury for Takayasu.
He does look a little stiff. Like kind of watched. It's not very fluid. But yeah. But he is kind of like. He's definitely not mobile. But he's moving. He's able to move forward and push. So that's probably good for him.
Yeah, and he's got Meisei on day five, and Meisei only got his he's at 3-2. All right, no, he's 1-3 right now. Yes, yep, 1-3. His only win, I believe, was a walkover win over Takakesho. So
yeah.
Takayasu should get that win over Meisei on day five.
Yeah, and I kind of skipped over Wakatakage, but he's looked. He's looked good. It's just, I think he'll do fine. Yeah, he'll do fine.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about he's now in Senyaku. This is his highest rank. Same thing with Meisei. And then Ichi Yamamoto, who's down in Magashira 17. I like the name, so we'll touch base on that a little bit later. But yeah, I think it's just nerves, possibly, because, I don't think he did his best sumo the first 2 days, but he's bounced back and he's beat Shodai at Ozeki. You're going to lose to Taran Fuji, and then Hokuto Fuji can always be that guy who can play spoiler.
Again, yeah.
He
looked really, really good in the fight against Shodai. He's not doing like the kind of spasticness that I always mention when I'm talking about him. He looked pretty square.
Yeah, and I think last tournament he also looked pretty... He got rid of the wily part that he had a couple tournaments ago. He was... I think if you want to compete with the guys at the top, you can't be too wily. Like, you're not going to make it in Senyaku if you're kind of all over the place, which I think is kind of what we're seeing with, like, Tobi Zaru and, Hoshoru, who's performing pretty well this tournament at 3-1. But those guys are, they're all the new age sumo that have kind of come up over the last handful of tournaments. But yeah, I think if you're too wily, you're not going to make it at the top. Wakatakage is kind of squaring up.
I'm wondering if it's kind of like it's like a training thing. Like in the beginning, it's like, I guess the comparison I can make is like a hockey comparison, which is kind of silly, but it's like, think of like, you're like a scrappy guy trying to, you know, stay on the team. So you're like doing whatever it takes to win. And then you can kind of like, once you're in, then you start kind of focusing on fine tuning your skill.
Yeah, and it's
so funny. I wonder if that's kind of what's going on.
So are we going to say like Waka Taka Kage is kind of like the Brad Marchand of sumo? Because like think about it, like when Brad Marchand first came up with the Bruins, he was that kind of dirty player. You know, I'm going to be that edgy kind of, not, he wasn't like a super dirty player, but he like got in the dirty areas, you know, right. Penalized. He was called the rat. But then he like, once he got up there, he like fine tuned his skill and he was like, okay, now I'm an established player. This is who I'm actually going to become.
Kind of reminds me of like a Lucic too. Like Lucic, I remember like when Lucic first came in, he was just a goon who would go in and fight people. But like once he knew he had a spot solidified on the team, you know, he focused on other things that were lacking. It's just, I'm just wondering if that's kind of like the way to get into the Magashira ranks at this point.
Yeah.
And then like once you're there, it's a matter of all right, well, now that I'm up here, I need to actually start, like, because you can probably pound your way through a lot of the lower ranks like that.
Probably.
Like just with short, like sheer strength and like intimidation, I'm sure you can get through a lot of guys in the lower ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And like size or something like that. Like it's instead of it having to be like a multi-angled attack, like a Hakuho kind of thing, you can probably get away with like a one or two things in your tool belt. Because there's just so many guys down there. Like they all can't be good, obviously. So
yeah. No, I'm super excited about Waka Taka Kage, especially since, you know, I've been following him since his Juryo days.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he does well, and you know, maybe he ends up staying at the same rank. Pretty much he will if everyone else kind of stays in place and continues the way they're going.
Yeah, I'd be happy if he could come out of this, like, because it's going to be pretty volatile up there for a while, I bet. Especially with Asuniyama's suspension and, like, Takakesho getting hurt and Terunofuji if he goes to Yokozuna. Like, it's going to be, like, a disaster up there in the Senyaku. If he could just get, like, an 8-7 and just kind of hang out in Komusubi or Sekiwake for a while.
Yeah,
and kind of let everybody else like beat themselves up,
he's gonna face Hakuho at some point. Mm-hmm. As long as Hakuho stays in, you know, he'll be there to face him. But because his day 5 opponent will be Daisho down in Magashira 1.
I actually think it's weird because I'm just like off the top of my head, I'm thinking too, like, I feel like he's got a better chance of beating Hakuho than Terunofuji right now with the way Terunofuji's fighting. Like,
probably
I'd almost give the nod to Waka Taka Kage, and not that he's better than Hakuho, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that like he's got a better chance to beat Hakuho in the Hakuho state that he's in right now than Terunofuji's current, you know, he's got a lot of momentum.
Yeah, and Terunofuji, he's one win, one walkover, and 5 losses.
Yeah.
So he's never faced Hakuho.
I was gonna say, yeah, he's probably never fought Hakuho. So.
Yep. And he has a losing record against Terunofuji, which is the case for most people sitting up top there. Like I think all of them, maybe with the exception of like Takakesho, have a losing record against him.
Mm. But yeah. Well, and then you get Endo Daisho. Daisho is
Yeah, 0-4.
Yeah, he's not showing up this tournament.
Not great, considering he won back in January.
Yeah.
You know, 13-2, took his first U show, then 8-7, 6-9, 0-4 to start right now. And I think 0-4, let's see, he started 0-4 back in March. So these are his worst two starts pretty much since May of 2018 when he started 0-6.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's not off to a great start.
Jeez, yeah. I'm watching his fight again against Terunofuji on day 4. And I mean he had Terunofuji running, but
yeah.
that extra shove from Terunofuji is so, it's ugly on that one. That one's really bad. That's super egregious.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think he needs to do it. And I'm hoping that it doesn't get to a point where it results in an injury.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is supposed to be the guy who is your next up-and-coming Yokozuna. Like, his story is great. What a story this would be for sumo. Like, I know outside of sumo, like, no one's probably going to care about this. Like, this isn't going to make, like, U.S. headlines. But,
yeah,
like, within sumo, like, if you're trying to build a sport, like, this is what you build your, you know, your headlines off of. Is, like, the rise from the bottom. Now this guy's a Yokozuna. Then again, I then would give him three tournaments until he has to retire, because it's Casino Santo. Tarnafuji's way more banged up than Casino Santo was.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing I'm always nervous about with guys getting promoted into Yokozuna who have a history of injuries, is like, are you going to really force him in there and then, you know, six tournaments in, he has to retire? I don't know.
I got to look into, like, I mean, obviously, I think we kind of talked about this in a previous episode too, but like the benefits of retiring as a Yokozuna. Like, yeah, if they're, because if they're forcing you out, there has to be like some sort of, you know, money involved with that. Like, hey, you got to retire, but your sumo association will pay for X, Y, and Z, or something along those lines. Like,
yeah, I think there's a lot. I think there's that, and there's like elder stock too, and like guarantees with like inheriting a Heia, and there's all sorts of these other promises that they get. But yeah, I don't know the specifics of them, but it would be interesting to take a look to see what they get on retirement.
I'm gonna skip over Takanosho.
Yeah, I was gonna say something, because yeah, he's 0-4. We talked about good guy Ichinojo.
Yeah, Ichinojo, I'm just super excited about this tournament. Actually, I'm gonna keep my eye on the rest of the tournament, just because I don't know, he's looking good and being a good dude. So And usually when he gets up this high, you know, he does the dip. So
yeah, he's got Hakuho on day five. So
yeah, that'll be a really good test for him, actually. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see, like, because if he can get past Hakuho, hasn't fought Tarnafuji yet, of course. But I mean,
like, I think Ichinojo has the potential to not play spoiler, but could make things interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's not a super technical fighter.
No.
But yeah, it would be interesting to see if he can play spoiler up here at this rank. He's a veteran. He's been around for a while.
I think if I'm remembering, I mean, it's probably a pretty safe bet no matter who I say this about, but I feel like Hakuho has worked Ichinojo in the past, because he's one of those fighters who has very few dimensions to his game.
Let me pull this up. But yes, your statement is probably, you could say that
it's a safe bet. Yeah. It's a safe bet. Like, I don't remember a time that Ichinojo has ever given Hakuho a run for his money in the time that I've been watching. So
Hakuho is 12-3 against Ichinojo.
It's actually better than I thought, to be honest.
And their last match was surprise. I can't believe it's been 2 years to this tournament. Back in 2019 was the last time these two faced each other. And Ichinojo won. So
interesting. That'll be a good fight to watch tomorrow then. That'll be,
yeah, the bout of the day. Hakuho versus Ichinojo.
Yeah, who would have thought? But anyway, moving along, Hokutofuji, as we talked about, he's always a threat. Marishira 3 anyway. I even if he goes like 2-13, his two wins will be against like Hakuho and Tarnafuji or something dumb. Like, yeah. That wouldn't surprise me. He's always a threat, so I'll keep an eye on him for sure the rest of this tournament. He's got Tarnafuji tomorrow, so we'll see. He's beaten Koto Echo, Meisei, and Wakata Kage so far. So definitely no, I mean, Koto Echo, slouch is not the right word, but performing as expected.
Yeah, and actually, I think this is because it's not that I get the two confused, but I always forget that Koto Yuki kind of sat up top here for a while, especially he was there, and then the whole Hua thing happened, and he was told to demote. By the way, speaking of that, I don't know if you heard, but on day four, Hakuho did a Koto Yuki Hua.
Oh, did he?
Oh yeah, he goes over there and he like grabs a towel to go kind of wipe himself down. You see him go like Hua, and I'm like, hey. You are the reason Koto Yuki isn't here anymore, because you told him to stop, essentially, through people. But yeah, so Koto Eiko's actually at a career-high rank as well, at Magashira 4.
Yeah, no, he's definitely doing well, but I just, I mean, he's another one that ebbs and flows, so we'll see. I mean, it's nice that he's potentially ebbing all the way at the top here. At Magashira 3, but and like I think what he needs in his, like, both the Kotos, to be completely honest, like, you know, Koto Nowaka and Koto Echo is like the Sadanme House needs or not Sadanme House.
Sadagatake
House needs consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just like consistently 8-7. I think that's like what they need. They need to stop. Like get into like the 3-6 Magashira range and just like hang out there for a while and start getting some reps against the top ranked guys. Like, can't be doing this fight the top ranked guys for a tournament and then go back down to like 15 and then work your way up slowly again. Like
what's crazy is this jump. So he was at Magashira 12 last tournament, and with a 9-6, they put him all the way up at 4.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy high.
Essentially
jump.
16 ranks east and west. Like, that's a big jump, I feel like, for a 9-6. And like, I don't know if it's just because the middle of the pack once again was kind of weak, so they were like, oh, we can justify jumping him up 16 places.
Yeah.
Up to Magashira 4. But yeah, because I don't think he'll get Hakuho. I mean, I guess it depends on how his record looks, and you know, they could, but yeah, he'll get some guys, and he'll probably get Nozeki, and he'll face some pretty tough competition.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would give him unless he like runs the gambit now. He's 2-2 already. Mm-hmm. So unless he goes on like some serious tear. I think the highest he'll be seeing is probably
he'll get Nozeki. I can see him getting like Shodai or Tarunofuji.
Especially if Shodai is kinda
Yeah.
Like the rest of the tournament, I could see him getting Shodai. But yeah, I think those guys just need to be consistent. I don't think they need these like crazy ridiculous, but even like a 7-8, like just kind of stay where you are and fight, like get some experience up there.
Yeah.
That'll help those guys.
I mean, Koto Aiko going back to September of 2020, 8-7, 6-9, 6-9, 8-7, 9-6.
They're kind of doing it already in a sense. Yeah.
But like, that's the weird thing is because before his highest was Magashira 7.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Because before his highest career rank was Magashira 7. Now he's up at 4. So like, if he gets 8-7 at 4,
yeah,
I'm totally happy with that.
That would be great if both of them, both him and Kota Nawaka, can finish 8-7.
Yeah,
I think Magashira 8-12 is a good spot for Kota Nawaka right now based on like how old he is and like how much longer he has. It's not like he's gonna be burning out. Like,
oh, he's 23.
Yeah, so he's got plenty of time to sit. Like, I think he just needs to stay. He needs to stay up.
Yes, he needs to. Yes, correct. He needs to stay in the top division. He needs to get reps up there. He needs to learn from these guys and get that experience and.
Needs to get a couple of crushing defeats in there, like some good streaky win. Like, yeah, he just hasn't really had the experience.
No, but he's sitting at 3-1, so I'm pretty excited about that, which is good. Both of them are doing pretty well.
Yeah, and he's had long stretches, not long stretches, but like back in 2021, March 2021. You know, he lost, then won, lost 3, then won, and then lost, then won, then lost another 3, and then won. Like, so he's like, he can get a few losses in and then win again, which is good. That's something like Kota Shigeku kind of struggled with that. I feel like if he had a few losses in a row, it was kind of like, wheels are coming off. So like, I mean, granted, when we were watching him, he was much older. Than Kota Nawaka. So it's good to see like now that like it doesn't seem like he's getting too defeated, I guess is my point with all of this, is like he's losing a few matches and then like it's on to the next match. You know what I mean? Which is good. And he's got his best start right now in the last since September, like forever. Yeah. He's got 3 wins in a row against Tochi Noshin, who I'll get to in a minute. Yeah, that's pretty much it. God, is he bad. Kagiaki and Terasu Yoshi. So guys around him picking up wins that he needs to be picking up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got Ura tomorrow.
I'm actually pretty excited to see Ura back because his story is very similar to Tarunofuji's,
except
Ura had a bad ACL, like he like tore it up. He dropped all the way, I think, down to the second lowest division. And pretty much climbed his, like, he was down in, I don't want to say it's Jonokuchi. He might have just been down in Jonidan, where I think Tarunofuji only went down to Sadanme, but like, That's a pretty fall, pretty far fall down to now get Ura back up. So I'm excited for Ura.
Yeah, he's taped up like crazy on that knee. Oh, yeah. So it's got to be, yeah, it's just precautionary, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And oh man, he's getting bent like an accordion in this fight against Kageyaki on day four.
Yeah. And it looks like right on the end, he like, yeah, you can almost see that he's like almost cautious. He's like, I know this feeling and I need to, I'm just going to take the loss, or like, I'm going to roll out of the ring. I'm going to like,
safety. Yeah. He kind of like caught himself in like a weird, like he didn't, it looked like he decided too late to do that. Mm-hmm. Like he was like fighting it. And then he was like, it almost hurt him more to try and like take the loss there than if he kept, I don't know. It was definitely seemed like a mental thing. Mm-hmm. Like I messed up my knee. I don't want to do this again. Cause he looked good the whole fight up until that point where he was on the edge.
Yep.
And then like, even you can kind of see too, like 10, like five seconds or so into the fight, he gets pushed back by Kageyaki and you can see his whole right leg like tremble. Like you can tell it's not full strength yet.
Yeah. But... And I don't, yeah, like I don't blame him at all. I would
be terrified
to regress, because yeah, he was down at Joni Don 106 West.
Yeah, jeez.
And then he had back to back U shows and Joni Don and Sadanme, and then he's kind of been slowly climbing it up with a winning record every tournament since his since that injury. But yeah,
I mean I'm no athlete, of course, but I've had my herniated disc in my back and it's like, it's on your mind all the time. It's like, I can't imagine like putting actual strain to that capacity on something that hurt so bad and was so debilitating, to like just jump back in there and get as far as he has already, like fighting his way back. It's pretty cool. And again, Terano Fuji, kind of the same story, but
yeah,
but very, very cool to see, Ura climbing up. He's 13 right now. And then, so kind of like backtracking a bit, Oyama, our veteran boy, sitting at 8, he's
1-3.
Yeah, doing his usual thing. Although he was out a lot of last tournament, dropped from 3, came back, got 4 wins in his last 7 days, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I think he was trying to salvage his rank at that point, because the Yusho before, he was Jun Yusho. Like, he was runner-up to that that tournament. So, yeah, I think last tournament he was just trying to salvage something, having already, like, you were getting demoted. That was just how much are you going to be demoted?
Yeah.
He just went down 5 ranks.
But, yeah, he's looking a little – his fights haven't been that good either. He's been shaky in his losses. And so yeah, keeping an eye on him. And going further down, good guys like Kaisei,
I mean, right above him, Tamawashi too, part of the leaderboard. I don't think he'll be there in the end, but he's one of your 3 remaining undefeated Rikishi in this. Itako, Terano Fuji, and Al Tamawashi are your 3.
Yeah. And then, so I mentioned good guy Kaisei because his fight with Toshi Noshin, it was a big toss from Kaisei to get Toshi Noshin out of the ring. Picks up Toshi Noshin's...
like the tassels.
The tassels, and doesn't... I like that he doesn't really, like, help him up, like, because I know, like, they all kind of hate that. Like, sumo wrestlers don't like it when you try to help him up. Mm-hmm. But like he kind of waits for him to get up and like taps him on the shoulder. It kind of looked like a good job kind of thing, and then hands him the tassel. So like does kind of help him, I guess. He does grab him a little bit under the arm.
And I think Toshi Noshin is like, he's kind of that ignorant person who would be like, who like make it obvious that he doesn't want help up by like bumping him away, and he doesn't do that. But you can kind of tell just like sort of by the body language that he's like, I definitely don't want you helping me.
Yeah,
he had too much pride despite being 0-4.
He gave him at least the nod, which is more than I would expect from Toshi Noshin.
Yeah,
like he gave him like the like, yeah, thanks, like kind of thing.
I'm good. Let me have my dignity a little bit.
Yeah, but Toshi Noshin is this might be retirement material for me.
I can see him trying to get through the rest of the year, and then if it just is a no-go at the end, like heading into 2022, totally see him retiring.
Because, I mean, he has looked awful in all of his fights.
Oh, yeah, he's looked bad.
And
which
he
is weird because, it, like,
and he got tossed by Kaisei. Like, I don't know, like, tossed. I don't think I can remember the last time I've seen Toshinoshin thrown somewhere.
Yeah, that usually doesn't happen. And even last tournament, like, he had a bad start, and then whatever clicked, like, he started kind of getting that Toshinoshin, like, lift again.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a couple of the matches, he looked like his old self, and then he just, like, couldn't get it together. It's like he has one good fight in him now, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't looked good in a long time. So I can see this being retirement territory.
I was happy to see Kota Nowaka beat him on day one. That was like one of my highlight fights.
Yeah,
I think that's a good win for him because yes. I mean, as banged up as it's kind of like when they like in the UFC or something when they put like somebody up against, you know, this guy was like the champion like 6 years ago.
Jones, it's like, yeah, he's once the former champ and now he does all these drugs, but he's still like competitive when he gets in the ring. And then you beat him and right. It's like, oh, that's good. Like, good job.
Yeah, it's like it's a good notch in Kota Nowaka's belt, I feel like, that was a clean win too. Like, I mean they had a false start in the beginning, but
yeah.
Like I don't know. It's funny too, just like because Toshinoshin's so much older than him too, and just like Kota Nowaka's baby face, like pretty much just wrap this older guy up and just escort him.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you can beat a Yusho winner, regardless of whoever it is, that's a good victory.
Yeah,
like even if it's, you know, Tsurugisho, I think was the one who won back in January. No, not him. There's another one down here who's now back up. No, Tokushoto, who won back in January of 2019, I believe it was. Like, even beating him, like, yes, he was Margaret Shearer 17 at the time, and that was 2020, not 2019. Still won the Yusho. I think if you beat a guy who's won a Yusho, I think that's a good victory.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so when we got another guy I want to talk about down here. Is Chio no Kuni. I've been keeping an eye on him too because I don't know, he's just a good dude. And I mentioned this like the last three episodes, but like he did that documentary for NHK and he just seems like a good guy. So it's good to see him fighting up in this rank. He's, you know, he's sitting at 3-1, which is good. I mean, he's six, Maga Shira 16, so he's definitely better than that. So
yeah,
like
your 3-1 too is pretty crowded. So yeah, maybe he breaks off from that group and he moves up to 4-1, you know, tomorrow. He's better than Magashira 16.
And like he's got like a really like odd build to him too. He's like, I don't know, he's like kind of muscular, but like he's like super tall, I feel like. I don't know. It's a weird kind of, I don't know what it is about his body, but I feel like it's giving him an advantage. Oh, he like totally punches Daimami on day four. Oh man. Oh God. He like a right hook. Left hook. Yeah. He just clings him out. And then I think he might've stunned. Like I think Daimami might've been out right there. Oh man, I kind of want to. I mean, we can talk about other stuff while I'm pulling this up, but like, you should see him smack him. Like, so you should be able to see it now.
Yeah.
And like, watch this left hook right there. Ooh. And then he's like staggered the whole time. He's got nothing. Falls over. I didn't notice that the first time, but that explains why he dropped right out of the ring.
Yeah, just kind of gets off balance real quick. If nothing else, even if it wasn't like a good solid connect, it's just like that shock of being slapped in the face.
Because
like even in sumo, like that's kind of expected, but when it does happen, you're just like, oh damn. Like last tournament, I felt like that happened a ton where there were like fists just being thrown, like hard slaps, and you were just like, oh, that must have hurt, because I personally don't like being slapped.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's probably not great.
I think like it's something that always kind of catches me by surprise, I guess, when guys go for the slap. I remember for a long time with Hakuho, he was like trying the slap for like three tournaments and it was not working out for him within recent memory. I think it was something we might even have talked about in an episode, like one of our first episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, was just, I don't know. He was like, his strategy was to right off of Itachi Eye, try to like slap a guy and back off.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, why would you do this? You're so much better than this. Like,
yeah, I mean, it could just be he's trying to add another weapon, or maybe he's telling people, hey, I got this new arsenal, like this new weapon, and I really don't, just to kind of confuse people, because,
yeah,
you know, maybe, but.
I mean, if yeah, anyone could have a new weapon randomly, it's Itako for sure.
But. Yeah, and I forget who it was. They were talking about this also on NHK, and if you want to, going back to when you said the good documentary about Shinokuni, they actually interviewed the Oyakata from the Arashio Heia, where Wakataka Kage, and they kind of talked to him about how the whole COVID outbreak happened, and it kind of changed their mindset on, like, how they practice, how to keep them entertained, like keep them within the, like they don't even know how the outbreak happened. But the stable master there seems like a pretty cool guy. And especially after hearing that, I'm like, I want everyone in that stable to do well now too.
Yeah.
And especially since we were kind of already following Wakataka Kage, but it was nice that, you know, the stable master kind of was like, yeah, we changed how we did things based on what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like something that has to start happening. Like, and I mean, I think Japan recently, especially since the last time I think we were doing an episode, like they've ramped up their kind of, not that they weren't ever like COVID aware, that's not really what I'm saying, but like I know their vaccination rates have been embarrassingly low, but yeah, I know they've picked it up lately. But
yeah, but the latest reports are is that Tokyo might go into another state of emergency heading into the Olympics.
Like, yeah.
The numbers are, because there's a huge surge happening again,
mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate, because like not that things have been great here, but I don't even want to get into it, because I want
but yeah, it's my point really was like, I think like again, this kind of silver lining of this is that this might change a little bit of like the sumo culture. I mean, now that you've seen like the Asunayama thing and like this culture of like locking these guys in these stables, it's like they're obviously going to act out when like they need,
especially under these circumstances.
Right. It's just like even worse now. So like if you can adapt and, you know, you change it for COVID, but I guarantee you that the change overall will just help. You know, like anything at this point, I would imagine would be a improvement over some of what I've heard about the stable life for sumo.
Yeah, and I think one of the things they that was recommended on NHK was, you know, at least during the COVID lockdown, give them social media back, give them the ability to be able to express, you know, day to day life. You know, have some kind of communication with fans, because like they can't have fan events, they're not really traveling for tournaments in between places, like they're not doing any of this social interaction,
right?
And that's super important, especially since like you see these guys and you live in that Heia every single day. Like you need a change of pace, whether it's communicating with fans or like doing something that's outside the norm but still within the restrictions.
Yeah, and it's not like these Heias are like giant mansions.
Correct.
Or anything like that. They're like apartment buildings.
Yep. It's a building that has a whole bunch of rooms, and you come down, you have breakfast, you practice, you shower, you eat dinner, you go outside and lift tires.
Yeah.
Go to bed. Like, that's pretty much the daily routine. But yeah, you should check out the thing on NHK. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I'll check it out for sure. They've been like, I don't know, I've been super impressed with NHK in the last, like, couple years. Really, they've been stepping up their international game a little bit, which is nice to see.
Yeah, they've done that, and I think the big thing that I've wanted for a while, and that's why I didn't like going to NHK and we were going to other sources, was you'd go to NHK's website and it would have the results under the video, so it'd be like Hakuho versus like Haruma Fuji, and it would show Hakuho won. You're like, well, that's a spoiler, and it's hard to avoid because the video is right there.
Yeah,
and I think over, I forget if it was back in March, they changed it where you can now hide that thing by default. So like when you go to the website, it's like the result is hidden, and then you can click it to view it if you want to.
Yeah. That's what I hate about the mobile app, the Grand Sumo mobile app.
Yep.
It's like the top three results from the day are like already there. So it's Hakuho's fight, Taruna Fuji's fight, and like in this case, Shodai's fight. Like,
yeah.
It's and they're like, okay, great. Now I know that you know I the ones that are supposed to be like the build up and like the most dramatic. I already know the answers to without watching.
Yeah, and like that's the one thing that I hate, like because I would typically get up around like 6 a.m. so it's a little bit after the tournament has ended for the day. And I'm like jumping on Twitter and I'm like gotta scroll, keep scrolling, creeps like because I follow too many accounts to like try to avoid spoilers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been trying to avoid that as much as possible.
Like, and I wish the so again, mobile app is super great. Like if anybody wants to watch Sumo, it's not even that expensive. Like I guess I'm getting charged for it still. It's like so minute. It's like $4 or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's pretty cheap.
It's not and you get history 10 years back and you get like every match is up like I'm up by usually like around like you like 6 or so in the morning and all the matches are up there already.
Yeah.
It's like almost as they happen. So when I get BlueStacks, which is a Android emulator, you know, make some account up for Google Play, go download the app and then you can just plug in whatever card you want and it works. It's also nice that it doesn't like have an issue with it like cuz you can use like Google Pay or whatever, so you don't have to worry about the foreign currency exchange and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it's a sweet app, and yeah, on the if you watch it the day of the tournament, like within 24 hours, they're all abbreviated. That's kind of where I was going with this. So instead of you know you don't have to watch the salt throwing and things like that. Like if you're watching it the day of, which is super nice, so you can get through all of them in like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it's when you get behind it doesn't make sense. It's so weird to me that it feels backwards.
I agree like, that it should be like the first day should be like, oh, we didn't have time to cut down the video, so here's like everything. Mm-hmm. When in fact it's like, oh, we'll give you the short one now, but then we're going to extend it later on.
Yeah. So bizarre.
Unless they just want people to like get on and use the app and they're like, oh, well, their attention span's only going to be 20 minutes, so if we make it 20 versus like 40.
Yeah.
Because like even the videos that we watch, like NHK for me is almost a little too long, but then there's other sources where I kind of just like click through the fights real quick.
Yeah.
Especially if I fall behind a couple of days where I'm like, I just want the short one. Mm-hmm. But for like NHK and we don't get NHKs, they don't get it out until like 10 or 11 p.m. our time, like the day after day five. It's like it's not great.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean that's most of the Banzukei, like the guys that yeah. I really wanted to talk about. I feel like so far it's a pretty there's no surprises really. I think the biggest surprise really is Takakesho having to pull out.
Yeah.
That's probably the most disappointing thing for me mm-hmm. personally.
I'm really excited to have Hakuho back. Like even mm-hmm. like I said, even if he's not 100% and he's even at 70%. Like having him in the tournament is such a difference maker long term. Like look, like I said, heading into days 13 through 15, if he's on the leaderboard, if he's at least healthy, and maybe he's already got a handful of losses, as long as he's there, he's gonna play spoiler, and I want him to stay. He needs to stay, and I think he has to. Like if you don't want him to retire, and everyone was saying like this is a make or break tournament for him. If he pulls out or if he performs poorly, we're talking retirement of Hakuho. This is the end of an era.
Yeah.
I doubt anyone. We're probably never going to see anyone as dominant as him again, because he's just ridiculous. Like he has like 25 more wins than the guy behind him. Like it's insane.
It's crazy how my tune of Hakuho has changed in such a small time frame. Like I've barely been watching Sumo like almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from like,
I couldn't stand him.
I despised him because every single tournament it was 15-0 Hakuho, 15-0 Hakuho. And then like every once in a while there'd be some guy who would go 14-0 and then you'd fight him on the last day and you're like, well, Hakuho's going to beat you.
Yeah.
And then Hakuho would beat him. And it was like, oh my God, can't this guy just like get injured or something?
Well, it's like the Tom Brady effect where it's like, really? Brady's back in this again? Really? Talking six Super Bowls? Like this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, but he's got such a like, it's like a variable now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not static. Like he's not the 15-0 guy anymore. So yeah, it makes it way more interesting.
Yeah, I kind of like the chaos where we don't really know who's going to win. Like Tarunofuji's kind of reestablishing himself. He now has 4 tournament wins. And 3 of them are within the last year.
Yeah.
So like Tarunofuji is now the guy to beat.
Mm-hmm.
No one is no one's equal to him. Even Hakuho, it's like,
yep.
Hakuho, technically Tarunofuji is the guy to beat. He's the guy that you need to stop.
Yep.
If you're going to be gatekeeper, this is your chance to see if Taira Nofuji's legit, or if it's been a fluke because there's been no Yokozuna to be his measuring stick.
Yeah, this is kind of like the changing of the guard thing I think we kind of talked about in the last episode.
Every great Yokozuna has had a transition to the next. Like, Hakuho's had his rival, and then before Hakuho, it was somebody else, and like, that torch always gets passed, and we're entering a phase where no one's competing for that torch. Like, no one's really deserving of it.
Yeah.
Taira Nofuji might be, but like, what if he gets banged up? And
that's my, we already kind of talked about this, but yeah, like, what if he, so yeah, if anyone can run the table on everybody here, it's Taira Nofuji.
Yeah.
But he is not, like, even given Hakuho's history of injury recently, he's not in the best shape, like, compared to that even.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how long he can maintain up there.
The only thing he might have is you know, he'll be 30 in November. So, like, age is not too much of a concern, even though I still think, like, 33, 34. So, really, he only has 3 years left, and Hakuho has pretty much established himself as, like, a 20-something-year-old Yokozuna.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, he's kind of at an age, and he's had an injury history where, like, okay, let's say Taira Nofuji gets promoted. If he has to retire, there is no one, no one even remotely close to being Yokozuna material.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, it was Hakuho, and then before that it was Asa Shoru, and then before that it was Taka Nohana, and like, the torch has been passed, you know, Chiyo Nofuji back in the 80s, like, there's always been, you know, Akibano back in the early 90s. Like, there's always been this torch passing. And either it's going to end with Hakuho or it's going to end with Taira Nofuji. Because,
yeah, I don't see.
There's no one.
Yeah.
Like, no one's even been, like, a consistent threat. No one's been, like, consistently over 10 wins or, like, 11 wins consistently. You know, a couple bad losses. Like, no one's consistent enough to be a threat or even consideration for Yokozuna. I mean, people can barely get into Ozeki.
Yeah,
talk about Matakiomi hanging out and second walking home forever.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of these guys that are up there in like the Sekiwake to Magashira 3 have like all been here. They've all done this dance before.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean, Takeyasu obviously was in Ozeki briefly.
And we'll go over some of the highest ranks here. Takeyasu, Ozeki, Wakatakakage is at a career high. Endo is Komusubi, Takanosho, Sekiwake, Hokutofuji, Komusubi, Tobizaru, Margashira 2 is his highest. And then Ichinojo and Daisho have both been Sekiwake. So, like, top of the division, all Senyaku guys, been here, done that, not consistent enough to get into Ozeki.
Yeah. So, yeah, and if you're not getting to Ozeki, then you're definitely not getting to Yokozuna. So,
nope. I kind of wish I was around for the rise of Hakuho to really like look at his dominance and be like, wow, this guy who's just blowing through the ranks right now is ridiculous.
That would be interesting to see. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like, just to see, like, wow, this guy is way better than everybody. Because I feel like.
Like, we see that in hockey all the time where you're like, oh, yeah. Connor McDavid, like, oh, yeah, he scored 110 points this year in the 41-game season. Well, that's because he's ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
So, like, we get that in hockey all the time, but, like, we're never going to get a chance to really see someone climb through the ranks like Hakuho is. Like, I think this is something that sumo fans should enjoy, and I've enjoyed it, and I'm glad I have a different opinion on him so I can actually enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so, I mean, I think... I'm good. Do you have any? You always have some nuggets for us. Do you have any nuggets for us, Andy's nuggets?
Yeah, Andy's nuggets. These are my nuggets, the six piece. I don't have anything for six pieces, but I did want to say Hoshoru. He's 3-1. Asa Shoru, who we actually just talked about, his uncle, I believe, is like now super involved with like his training and is actually more around, and he's very verbal apparently on Twitter about the Sumo Association and. Discipline and things like that. So that's just a little
fun. In what way is he like a for or against?
I think he's like he's been against a lot of some of these punishments that's handed out because like Asaniyama is suspended for a year. And I think the reason, I mean, his is really a given because he's an Ozeki and he's really at a higher honor status than some of these other guys. Like Ryuden is also suspended, but we're not hearing about that as much because it's Ryuden and you know, who really cares. But yeah, so Asa Shoru is pretty verbal. And they mentioned that on NHK too, that he he gets involved with his opinion is pretty well heard. And then the other thing, Hoshoder also has a red Mawashi, changed up the color. For whatever reason, I always noticed that kind of change.
And sometimes it is jarring though. Like some guys that go from like a white or black Mawashi to like a purple. It's like, whoa.
Like imagine if Tochinoshin like went from, because you know Tochinoshin purple.
Right.
Like imagine if he just went red.
Yeah.
Kaisei left orange.
Yeah, Kaisei is definitely always orange, no matter what. I would be freaked out if Kaisei changed his.
Correct. So like the certain guys where you see certain, like even like Kota Nowaka has that like teal green blue kind of Mawashi where it's like it's gonna be jarring when he changes it. I get that, like when you hit Ozeki, you traditionally go black.
Yeah.
So like that's fine when you change it once you get up there. But except like
for, oh boy, what up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's actually interesting. I never thought of it that Kota stuck with his blue one.
Yeah, he always had blue.
Yep. So. And then last thing I'll mention is Ichi Yamamoto. New young guy. Interesting fact, and this was brought up in NHK as well. No one's been in from his Heia has been in the top division since 2011. That was pretty cool, 10 years. And then he also apparently beat Ishioda with a rare backwards belt throw. So like he was falling out of the ring and like grabbed his pretty much belt like by like the crack and like pulled him out of the ring like that. And that hasn't happened in 3 years.
Yeah. So. Yamamoto. Interesting.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you heard, but Ikioi retired, I think.
I did hear about that. That's a bummer. I mean, it was a long time coming.
Correct, yeah.
But because Ikioi was my boy. I remember screaming his name.
Yeah. in the Kopugikon in Fukuoka.
Yeah. Just being ridiculous because he's got a good sumo screaming name. So.
Yeah. besides that, just a couple, things in Juryo, Abi 4-0.
He'll be back.
Yeah, if he wins the U show, I think he'll still have at least one more in Juryo, even if he runs, unless he goes 15-0.
Yeah, if he goes 15-0, I gotta imagine they're gonna, especially based on like Ishiura is gonna go back down to Juryo. There's gonna be a spot for him.
Oh yeah, 100%. So I guess that's really the Enho struggling. Kota Shoho is bouncing back from an injury from last tournament. He's 1-3. And then kind of you have your Wakamoto Haru. I know we brought that up. So that's Wakatakage's biological brother.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting at Juryo 3 at 2-2. So it'll be interesting to get both Waka brothers 2-3.
Because then we get the Waka Waka.
Waka Waka.
You had the Fozzie Bear connection up in
there. Yeah, there we go.
Sure, they would appreciate that.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. It's definitely an enjoyable joke.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that'll put a cap on this is our year anniversary.
Year anniversary. Two. I'm pretty pumped that we've made it through a year.
I can't believe we actually did this for you. Granted, we got this one out a little late. But that was like 4th of July. That kind of threw a...
Yeah, obviously with the American holiday and everything. And yeah,
but
getting out late.
But yeah, we got to... We made it a year. This is like 9 months longer than I thought we would do it.
Yeah.
So
it's been enjoyable, and I hope we continue to do this as we see who the next Yokozuna is going to be.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. It's very unprecedented, one might say.
Very true. There's no passing of the torch.
All righty. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you at the end of the bar show.
Yeah. Take care. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Music, and Google Podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter at Super Sumo Bros or supersumobrothers.com. Until next time, take care.